Smash Factor.
Ripping driver, going for it. Oh my goodness.
How about that tee shot?
That is crazy how far that is.
Wow. John Daly, take a back seat, big fella. How about that drive?
That's an aggressive line.
Look at this, he's just driven the green. He has just driven the green.
I guess, hello world, huh?
Welcome to the Smash Factor for the final major of the 2024-2025 season. Been a couple weeks with no pod, apologize for that. Work, life, more work, more life, and a little vacation, mini vacation in there, which was really chasing my youngest around the junior golf league tournament arena. So that it's been fun watching him play a lot of tournaments this summer, but between that and work being extremely busy in a one-man show, if something gets cut out of the week, it will be the pod. I'm hoping that, you know, as we ease down, summer comes in and all that, won't be missing much more pods, and then obviously when football gets back, we'll have those rolling for NFL per usual. But I'm back. We get the final major. Excited for it. Enjoy it every year as far as just the uniqueness of the timing. You know, something different, I guess you would say. And the difference in golf, right? Just links golf and all that. Although this isn't as strong of a links golf course as some, but still totally different than what these guys see on a day-to-day basis. So I'm looking forward to it. And as my son gets more and more into just all things golf, he's excited for it as well. You know, whether it be stay up late or get up early to watch some, especially once we get to the weekend, is exciting, because then you get to go. One thing, you know, we enjoy is go play later on, because you're not watching golf till, you know, 5, 6, 7 o'clock. You're done by, you know, 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and you know he's excited to go play. So it's fun all the way around. Looking forward to the weekend, get the work week out of the way, and settle in hopefully for a good finish. If you'd like to join now, we got college football coming up. NFL, as I said, we have by far the best college football DFS information, content, all that in the industry. Best Slack out there. They're already rocking and rolling on best balls. Bobby's put up rankings for the best ball and underdog. So if you want to join and start getting a roll on college football, then finish out this golf season, plus NFL rolling in, NFL best ball. We got all that stuff going as well. British gets you 30% off any package, any time length. Includes a 7-day risk-free trial. I think if you want content only, so no tools or anything, I can get it for like $7 a month with that code. If you want all the tools, NFL tools, golf tools, lineup builder, cut sweat, all that kind of stuff, it's all included. And that's around $14-15 a month with that code. You save even more if you go annually, a little bit less savings if you go weekly, but you can go check it out on the site. If you have any questions, reach out to me. We'll get you taken care of. We're at Royal Port Rush, par 71, just under 7,400 yards, 3 par 5s, 4 par 3s, off the tee, important accuracy, slight more than length. But overall, good drives, I think, is still important. If I was going to pick one, maybe slightly accurate. But in general, just a good, solid overall driving to me is important. Lowest bunkers of any open on the of the hosting courses, with 72 bunkers and there's no water. The course defense relies more on natural features like elevation changes and sand hills than the high number of bunkers. Short game is going to be important. But I think it's a little bit different short game than, you know, I don't think you'll have as much. If you remember watching back, and I watched some of it back over the weekend, 2019, you know, I kind of thought more of like a TPC Sawgrass than a traditional open. You're not going to have where you can, you know, Texas wedge it from 90 yards out or something like that. More often than not, you have, you know, undulation, elevated greens, different stuff like that. So I think the bonus of that is when we are looking at around the green or short game irons in our statistical stuff on the site, it does have some relevancy, whereas some years people will use that, but most of that data is on traditional American courses, and it really doesn't, the creativity and all that kind of stuff really doesn't take into place in those numbers. But I do think we can lean on it a little bit more than usual, but it's still a different style of golf. So I think the experience of Lynx Golf and how, you know, how they performed prior in general, and maybe the few that played in 2019, how they did, does matter. Got a score early on this course. You go back to 2019, majority of all the scoring was done in the first five holes. Gets harder and harder as the course goes on. And you got some big swings because of that. Right now, the weather, and again, sorry I didn't say it, but it's early Tuesday morning. I'm getting this out. I got to take little man to junior camp while I work, and then I will post this early to mid-afternoon. So weather we know can change over there quickly, but as of super early Tuesday morning, today looks semi-windy, nothing crazy, 10 to 15 for the most part. Some sprinkles could happen. Tomorrow looks nice, really. A little chilly, you know, low 50s, maybe gets up to 60. Winds 5 to 10 miles an hour most of the day, nothing crazy. Thursday, as of now, completely changes. So not only does the wind direction change from what they will see these first 2 days and even yesterday, strong winds, you know, 13 to 18 on average with gust up to 30 right now. And rain in the forecast, you know, I'm showing basically all day, starting about 7-8 o'clock their time. It's not a lot of rain, just looks like it's going to be there. The only positive as of now is it looks fairly similar throughout the whole day. There is a little pocket where it could pick up quite a bit in the middle of the day. We'll have to keep an eye on that. And because we don't have your traditional, well, not traditional, but what we're used to, split tees, threes, all that, everybody goes off one here no matter what. You could have pockets of good weather or good advantages. More times than not, we wind up having to do the heat maps for the open just because of that. And I will if need be, for sure. But it's still too early to kind of lock in, because this forecast right now wasn't what it was 48 hours ago for Thursday. Not this significant. There was some wind and a little bit of rain stuff, but not – I mean, it looks not fun on Thursday at all. Friday looks better. It looks like the rain will taper off overnight. It's dry most of the day, maybe some rain late. A lot less wind on Friday. So definitely going to be waiting until as long as possible tomorrow to kind of gather all that information and see if we have some potential pockets to, you know, on the heat wave, you know, heat map type stuff. The issue with that is getting the content out for the subscribers and the timing, because it locks tomorrow at 11 o'clock my time, so noon or midnight Eastern. So I'm going to wait as long as I can, but also get it out, you know, those final updates, you know, as early for people to be able to build their lineups and digest, because you can't, you know, wait till late and in the morning, it locks at 11. So going to be a timing issue. We'll see. But by, you know, 36 hours from now, we should have a fairly good view of it to see if we need to make any moves there. Saturday and Sunday look fairly decent. Sunday afternoon, maybe some wind picking up. That doesn't look like any rain in the forecast right now. Saturday looks great. It looks like a lot like Wednesday. So, and Sunday really starts out that way and really only gets up maybe late, you know, 13 to 15 miles an hour, which is something, but nothing like 30 mile an hour gusts and 20 mile an hour consistent like we could see Thursday. So always something to keep in mind on. It's one of those weeks where people get antsy because I won't put my bets out until as late as possible. I won't put final, you know, the nucleus, the core and all that, because it can be significant here. And I want to get as much information as possible before committing to that stuff. You know, cause you could have, you know, a 4 to 6 hour window on Thursday that absolutely kills people out of the tournament. You know, even though, let's see what I said. So cut number, I'm gonna come back to the number of guys under par relative on 2019, but for the cut, I have it around probably plus one, plus two. Remember, it's top 70 in ties, not top 65 in ties. Winner, I currently have it like minus 14, 15. Could get up there, maybe 16, depending on how easy the week, not easy, but how much the weekend lets up. I think it's going to be rough going early. And the cut may be worse, like plus three, plus four potentially. Plus three is probably about the worst I see. But and then they can go score a little bit more on the weekend. But, you know, 2019, Lowry won at 15 under. But remember, second place was 9 under, and only 29 guys finished under par for the whole tournament. So it still played tough for the majority. I know, you know, if people are just looking at, oh, 15 under, that, you know, this is almost a birdie fest. Not quite the case. I think it was Fleetwood maybe that finished second. You know, he shoots 9 under, 6 back of him, and then only 27 other guys finished under par. So outside of those two. So it's going to play tough at times. And Thursday could, I mean, just separate a lot from the field, you know, separate the field a bit. Who gets the best side of it? Who can survive it if they're all pretty consistent, but it's still brutal with winds and rain? You know, who can hold out and post a good number and then get to Friday where it's a little bit better type deal? It was also played in 1951. Max Faulkner won at minus -3. I just said that just because that's the only other, this is the third time it's been played here in the rotation. Stats for me this week. Stroke gains off the tee, stroke gain irons, good drives, good approach, opportunities inside 18 feet, and par 4 DK scoring. Salary ranges this week, 10K and above, 4 guys, 9K and above, or 9K range, sorry, 5K or 5. 8K range, 7 guys, 7K range, 16 guys, 6K range, 49 guys, 5K range, 72 guys. And in that 10K range, fairly certain the largest gap we've ever seen with Scheffler 14-2 and Rory 11-5. I'll get to the Sweet 16 per usual. 3 that I like in a bubble boy. Fade of the week, sleeper of the week, some gut fill plays. I have a few more there than normal. Betting top 5 the pop and 2 long shots provided by Underdog. You can use the code GUP, dollar for dollar match there. Great time to get in there, especially if you want to do some college football drafting and using Bobby's rankings and hopping in Slack. Then my preliminary one and done, and then we will wrap it up and get out of here until we get to the final stuff tomorrow evening. 9K and above. So we'll just start with the Scheffler talk. I mean, I'm real interested to see as I have a bunch of stuff today to do. I'll be listening to pods and press conferences as much as possible, as well as tomorrow. But is the $2,700 difference finally enough to really make a difference on playing Scheffler or not? He was great last week. Couldn't putt worth a lick. Does that get better this week? The 5K range allows for the building for sure. My early assumption is Rory, especially because he kind of looked really, I mean, fairly good last week. Ironically, it was a lot more putter than driver or anything like that. So you could take a little caution there, but you know, I would think that Rahm and Rory really creep up close to Scheffler because of the pricing. The 5K range is deep and the 6K range isn't, you know, nothing. And I think there's some solid plays down there for sure. That, I mean, what do we got there? 111 guys between those two ranges to pick between, that I still think Scheffler gets at least equal if he's still not the highest owned, because I still think a lot of people feel the safety with his floor is probably as good as anybody's. But when you have 111 guys to choose from at $6,900 or less, you can make builds work, whoever you want to go with. You can go Scheffler and, you know, maybe even Rahm and still make it count. What does that leave you with? $6,300 a person if you start with those two for your other four. I mean, that's pushing it, but, man, if you love a – you know, for whatever reason, you know, a $5,200, $5,300 guy, well, then that bumps that average, you know, way up. So you definitely can get some Scheffler 9K guys and stuff like that if you want. If you want to go balance this week, you have all the builds in the world. If you just fade Scheffler, you can just build any way you want. There's just an immense amount of possibilities there to build all you want. I still like Scheffler. It really just depends, you know, where I see the market going and the industry with ownership. I don't think I want to pay up for a 4-2 Scheffler, and he's, you know, the highest owned at 30-35%. But if he's one of the top three owned and they're all around 25% or something like that, then I don't mind playing him, which is kind of what I think will happen. And I think it'll tighten up as the week goes on and people start building, seeing what they can do. That Rahm and Scheffler and Rory become a lot closer than maybe what they started out, you know, yesterday at or something like that. At least that's my opinion. I may be wrong, but we'll see. And I'll be adjusting the ownership and stuff all the way down to the last second that I can. But for me, 9K above, I'll start out with Rahm. I do like him this week. Solid open history, 11th, 3rd, 34th, 2nd, 7th, his last five. So his worst has been 34th, 11th here back in 2019. You know, 7th at the U.S. Open. All around good game, creativity, all that kind of stuff. I like him. I personally think he winds up 3rd in that ownership. I think it's Rory, Scotty, 1-2, 1A, 1B. I don't necessarily know where I'm going yet. But I think they're 1-2, and I think Rahm winds up being, out of them, definitely the 3rd. I think there may be some cheaper guys that come up even ahead of Rahm. But for those top three, which I call the big three in this one, they'll be the top three ownership for sure. And he'll be the lowest, but not by much. You know, if they're 25, 26, Rahm may be 20, 21 type of deal. Don't play him a lot. Normally not on him, but I do feel this is a good week for him to contend and have a chance to win a major for the first time in quite some time. Xander, 9-7. Been on him a little bit more than usual. You see life there. He's one that I got pegged. I'm definitely going to watch his presser and kind of see what he talks about, especially with his driving that's been so off. But he always seems to just be around there. He can't put four rounds together. That seems to be the issue right now. He'll have a bad round. He bounces back. Then he closes Sunday decently, you know, and he backdoors what did he finish last week? Let's see. 10th or something like that, or eight, maybe 8th or 9th, something like that. It never felt like he was in contention, but at the end of the day, he was right. I mean, he was still around there. You want him to be contending in top five, but I think he can do that. Obviously, he's the defending champ, but it'd be interesting to see where he's another one that I just want to see how he's mentally, how he's feeling, and then if he talks about the driver situation, can he fix that or go a different route this week? And then where does the ownership go on him? Typically a guy that does garnish a lot of ownership, but I could see him, you know, being in that mid range, 15, 17, 18%, something like that. But at the price, I love him. Definitely going to be, you know, at least in the player pool for sure. We'll see if he makes the core, but I like him a lot. Oberg, 9-1, I'll continue to go back to him. He's similar, but man, if he can just avoid the blow up, I mean, I can't remember what, if it was Saturday or Sunday, I think Saturday afternoon, like a bogey, triple bogey, three hole stretch. And that, you know, outside of that, he would have been leading the tournament Saturday night. But still hung around there, fought, you know, he's got the talent. The ceiling is there. And so for 9-1, and I really think he kind of may go a little overlooked this week. I'll definitely go back there and have some Oberg this week. We'll see if he makes the core. But I like what I saw overall, and I think he can get it done. Bubble boy for me is Scheffler. And I already mentioned it. I won't go too far into it. I know most of my feedback here is people enjoy the quick 30, 40 minute pods, but it'll come down to the ownership, where he's at and where I want to be. I think it's still going to be a position where normally I'm kind of either all over overweight and all that, or under, or completely fade type. I think this will be a scenario where you can pick and choose where you want to play them. Maybe if you're playing high stakes, you fade them, take your chance there. Lower, you go like 2x the field, but you're only having to do 50% now, not 70, 80% to get 2x the field, something like that. I really think I'll be shocked if anybody's definitely over 35%. I think most stay under 30% in your big $5, your big millie, stuff like that. We'll see, but I like him this week. He'll just come down. Only reason for the bubble boy is ownership slash just the huge price gap between him and everybody else. AK range. I don't know how many times I keep going to this guy, but here we go again. Cantley, 8,100, $6,100 cheaper than Scheffler. I don't think the gap's quite that much. I get what DraftKings was trying to do, but I honestly don't think it was the correct path personally. I think pricing him at 14.2 is fine, but I think the gap between him and the others is too much. They should have moved some of them up. Well, like at least had Rory in the 12,000. Maybe he's 13.1, maybe a couple 12. I mean, something like that where it forces you to make decisions on your combos and stuff like that up top. But I mean, I don't think Scheffler's $6,000 more valuable than Cantley. And I'm not just saying Cantley. There's tons of them down here where you're like, oof, man, that's a big price difference. But it makes you think. That's the only positive about it is it's not an easy click on Scheffler as it once was, you know. But I think overall, Cantley's had a pretty decent – he's only missed one cut in the last six, a 12th, a 41st, an 8th, a 33rd, a 25th. So he hasn't really done, you know, ceiling has been 8th. But at 8,100, I mean, if I get a top 10 for him, he's easily could be my third guy in my lineup. You know, and so fourth if I go super balanced. You know, if I start in the 9K range, he could be my four. I could get four guys in the 8, 9K range. So I, for the price, I don't need a win. And if I can get a top 10 upside, he's at least going to be in, he'll be in a 20 max type pool for me, potentially 3 max core. We'll see how we land on that tomorrow, but I don't mind him at all. Hovland, 8,300. Good week last week, up and down at times. I think this style of around the green benefits him more than usual. I don't think the ownership will get too crazy, even though he had, you know, he's, you know, showing some upside here recently, but I don't think he gets out of, you know, but T to green, I still think he's going to be one of the strongest in the field. Well, I say that T off ball striking off the tee and approach. I think he's going to be, you know, top 10, you know, if not better. I like him a lot this week. I like the price at 8,300. You know, several of these guys have me leaning towards some of those more balanced builds and staying away from some of the – I like some cheaper guys, but, you know, not having to go down there as much. But outside of last year, he's had a great history at the Open, 12th, 4th, and 13th. He did not play in 2019. Kind of wish he did, just kind of see how he did there. By the way, Cantley was 41st in 2019 here. But 20th in recent form for Victor, continues to play better and better each time. He's always a boom bust type guy, risk a lot riskier than some others because he can just kind of fall off. But I feel like he's playing really good right now, and I'm going to ride that momentum and recent form he has. JT 8,500. I didn't think I'd be going here, but I do feel this type of open setup would be one he does the best at if he's ever going to kind of be there. And he got 11th here in 2019, which kind of makes sense to me just because of the style of the course, I think fits him better. Outside of the 11th, the other five in the last 6 years, a miscut, a 40th, a 53rd, a miscut, and a 31st. So not great, but I'm really honing in on, you know, when he's played PGA National, which is a good comp course. He's done well there. He hasn't played a lot, but then back here in 2011, when he played it, you know, almost top 10, and maybe that keeps his ownership down. Because in general, people look at his history and go, he's terrible at these kind of courses. But I'm really focusing more on just this course for him, I think suits him better. He's still got to be able to get the ball in the fairway more often than not. And if he can do that, we know his irons play is solid. And I think he can be live, you know, to be in that top 10 discussion come Sunday. Neiman, 8,200. Another guy that does not have a great – bubble boy for me, playing good. Good price. The bubble boy for me, not really ownership. If he gets too at a crazy out of ownership, I think the 8K range will be pretty spread out because there's a lot of solid plays there. But if he gets up there highly, I probably would fade him. You know, that would be a change for me come tomorrow. But the bubble boy reason is because he has just not done well at the Open at all. Miscut 59th, 53rd, miscut 58th. So no good history at all. Missed a cut here back in 2019. But I think he is a totally different player now. A little more risk there. If he's going to garnish the ownership because of other reasons, then I'll easily can pass on that. But I do like the profile for him, you know, stat-wise and how he's playing right now. We'll see how that looks tomorrow. But that's why he's a bubble boy for me. So, AK range, Cantley, 8-1, Hovland, 8-3, JT, 8-5, bubble boy is Neiman at 8-2. 9K and above range, I'll recap that. I don't think I did. Rahm, 10-4, Xander, 9-7, Oberg, 9-1, and then Scheffler at 14-2. 7K range, go right back to Fox, inside my top 10 and most stats I'm pulling right now, most data and, you know, models in general. Made the cut 5 out of the 6 years, five of the last 6 years at the Open. Got a 25th and a 16th in there, a 39th. Then two, you know, not so good finishes, and then the one missed cut. Form is can't be any better. I mean, he's just playing tremendous golf right now. The price feels cheap to me for where his golf is. I think he is kind of a grinder. So if we get, he's a guy I can see grinding out a tough Thursday and keeping himself in play. Used to blow up a lot. That seems to have gone away more recently. He has from time to time, but not near as much as he used to. And I think he's comfortable over there. And I really like him a lot this week. 7,100. We'll see how the ownership looks. I don't think there'll be too much chalk in this 7K range in general. I think it'll be fairly spread out. Slash, I think a lot of these guys may get skipped over and people go just drop down to the 6 and 5K range. So I'm not really worried about any chalk in the 7K range, but I do like Fox a lot. If there was chalk, I think the highest owned most likely will be Fitzpatrick. He was my pick to win last week. Loved him. He was right there. Made the, I don't remember if it was birdie, eagle, eagle, birdie. I think he eagled, then birdied on the back nine and then just did nothing. Matter of fact, I had a showdown team Sunday that I was in the top, I think top 15 with the most holes left by far. And I think my six guys shot like seven over combined on those last seven holes. And I had Goddard up in that lineup, you know, and so that's with him. I think he shot like even or minus one, but most of my guys just fell apart coming home. And Fitzpatrick didn't, I think he shot plus one, but it looked like he was going to, you know, roll and make a push to win it. And just kind of fell off and couldn't get there, but he's been playing great. Okay. Finishes recently at the Open, 20th, 26th, 21st, 41st and 50th. His form's gotten better and better and better. 38th at the U.S. Open, 17th at Travelers, 8th at Rocket. What was he last week? Like 5th. So I like him a lot. If there is a chalky, quote-unquote, in the 7K range, I think it would be him, and I think he probably will be the highest owned. But there's so many ways to build this week. I'm not too worried about that. I can get different in many other ways. Cam Young, we know my love-hate relationship there. I continue to go back to him. He's shown life, you know, so I don't, it's not like he's a horrible player or anything like that. He's been better at times. He plays the Open great. And he plays majors great for the most part, or better than his normal non-major play. I would say 22nd or 2022, he was second. That was his debut. And then 2023, he was 8th. 2022 is the year I almost won, 2 millies in the Open. I was winning both of them, actually, with the last 9 holes to go. Almost had the nuts all the way around, but didn't get it done. I finished 7th. I think I finished 7th and 9th or something between the big one and the big $25 one and then the 444 or whatever it was. But and he helped a lot because he was on that team, and he made an eagle on the last hole. I think Bryson finished strong. I had Cam Smith. I didn't have Rory, which was, you know, he was looked like he was going to win it going into the day, but wound up not doing that. Maybe it wasn't Bryson. I can't remember who else it was, but it was a solid week all the way around. But definitely a more boom bust at times. Again, 7,200 with who he's around. I don't think he gets much ownership, sub 10%. I don't mind getting over right there. He's definitely a 20 max or more. You know, if you do 150, something like that, play for me. Flirting with, does he get into that core for your 3 max and your bullet type stuff? But I like him this week. I like his just how he shows up in grits in the majors. That's not something you can, that's just anecdotal. You can't put that in a number. So Bubba Boy for me is Spieth, coming off the new baby being born plus recovering. I want to see the ownership. The reason I have Bubba Boy is he obviously plays the Open well. 9th, 20th, 2nd, 8th, 23rd, 25th, the last 6 years. And some of those years he was playing horrific golf, but still showed up and played the Open well. So he's had a rest. He's had time off. He's a huge wild card. And I'm hoping we get a discount ownership because of that. Now, his namesake and all that, you know, maybe that still keeps him up. But I think, I'm guessing, we'll see. I think he'll still be lower than what he should be, even though he's kind of not had the best form, up and down, per se. But, you know, the injury was there. He took some time off. I'm assuming if he's here and traveling across seas right after his baby was born, then he feels good. Definitely risky. That's why I have him as the bubble boy, but I don't mind having some shares of him unless he just gets out of the, you know, huge jock there. I think for his performance in the Open in general that, you know, the price is kind of cheap for the upside. Now there's some, he can miss the cut easily, but the upside there is, you know, a top 20 for sure. And a top 10 and that price would, that would do well. 7K range, Fox 7-1, Fitz 7-8, Young 7-2 with the bubble boy Spieth at 7-7. The 5 and 6K range, we will kick it off with Berger. A little iffy on him with the short game and around the green, but, you know, 8th in 2021 here. That's the last time he played the Open. 46 at U.S. Open, Travelers was 42nd, 21st off the tee, 27th in irons, 29th approach, 28th opportunities inside 18 feet. He's kind of a grit grinder type guy for me at 6,600. I'm like, yeah, you know, last time he played the Open, he finished top 10. I know it's been a while, but if things are tough early and you got to survive to make that cut, he's a guy I like to give me a chance to do that and give me a chance on the weekend, make a run, get hot. I know the putting is an issue, totally different, you know, putting surfaces over there. So I don't know if that helps him or hurts him, but at 6,600, I'm willing to, you know, take some looks at him. Fowler, 6,500. Another guy that I know plays well in bad weather. You know, he played Oklahoma State a lot. We have a lot of wind, rain, stuff like that. And it showed some life. He showed some really good rounds. He struggles to put all four together. Last five opens he's played, he's made the cut in all five, a sixth, a 28th, a 23rd, then a 53rd and a 71st. He's just, you know, these type of guys down here, there is a lot more gut feel I'm playing with them. I trust some of these kind of setups. The worst it is early to survive and get me as many six of sixes with hope on the weekend. Probably spread out a little more down here. Not crazy, but I mean, these guys are going to be 2-4% for the most part when you have that many guys. But I do like Fowler. Be interesting to see if people talk about him much, but I don't mind taking some shares there. Pinge, I believe that's how you say his name. I may be wrong. He was a core play for me. Marco, he was a core play for me last week. Did really well. Had a chance to win it. No reason not to go back to him. He's been playing awesome on the overseas. Played awesome again last week. I'll go right back to him. I'm sure he will get more ownership than he has. I still think it kind of stays in check a little bit, but even if it's 6-7%, I don't mind that. It could come in lower, but we'll see how that looks tomorrow night. Bubble boy for me is Pendrith. Rates out well. He's never played the Open. That's probably the only reason for the bubble boy is I don't know how he will play in general. But coming in with good form, you know, he's 15th in putting also, second in good approach, 11th in good drive, 26th in opportunities inside 18 feet, 25th at Travelers, 38th at U.S. Open. Just solid. There's nothing really bad about him. I think he'll be 3 or 4%. I had to have a bubble boy, but he probably makes the 20 max. For sure makes anything higher than that. If you're doing 30, 40, 50 lineups, he'll be in there for me. He'll flirt with being a core play. I doubt I get to core with him, but I definitely like him for MME. So 5, 6K range, I like Pinge, 6K flat, Berger 6.6, Fowler 6.5, Pendrith 6.5. My fade of the week right now is, I'll talk about the guys up top, but I'm seeing a lot of love for Wyndham Clark, and I'll gladly pass on that. It's early, so ownership will kind of shift around, but I currently have him as one of the highest up in the this 5, 6K range. He's at 6,700, but I get it to an extent. I know he had a good week. He's kind of shown some life, but overall, I'm not trying to find, hold on, extremely thrilled. Let me make sure I have that right. I may have the wrong. Up top, while I'm looking for that, up top, I'm probably going to be light or fade Bryson. He missed a cut here back in 2019. We know that the setup he struggles with in general with the way he does his clubs and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if it's clubs or not. He just doesn't. I mean, he's had one good finish. That was 2022. He topped 10 there. Outside of that, it's been a miscut, a 60th, a 33rd, a miscut, and a 51st. So not very good at all. And the 10-1. I mean, he could show up and win anywhere. I don't put that past him. But especially if he's going to get, you know, I still got him getting north of 15-20% ownership. He's the one up there that I would be, you know, because I'm still going to like Rory. I have him down later. I just didn't like him quite as much as Scotty right now, but he's right there with him. But, you know, the Lowrys, the, you know, Bobby Max, even a Fleetwood, I'll drop down to them before I pay up for a Bryson this week. And maybe that's bites me, but I don't, he looks good and everything. I just don't think I've seen it enough at the open for me to trust it. And you got to fade someone up there. You got to start cutting some people. So he'd probably be my official fade of the week. Sleeper of the week for me, I like Benny on $6,400. He's coming in like top 30 ish in overall model. Really looks solid. He just, you know, the putting, which we know that, probably helps him. The tougher the scoring, you know, balances it out. But, you know, he's played five out of the last six opens. And he's made the cut in every single one of them with the 51st, a 32nd, a 26th, a 23rd, and a 13th. So there's something about playing over there he likes. And so I'm showing, you know, maybe a 3-4% ownership at $6,400. I like that a lot this week. So he's my sleeper of the week. Fade of the week again is Bryson. Gut feel plays for me, I like Griffin. Missed the cut last 2 years at the Open. That's probably the only negative for me. Been playing super well. Did miss a cut at John Deere, but, you know, before that, a 13th, a 14th, a 10th. We know he's just been, you know, awesome at his recent form. Has been as good as anybody. And so I'd gladly go back there. Certainly a much different player than he was 2 years ago. So I, you know, 7,300, I don't mind taking some chances on him. Fleetwood, a guy I'll get to, but I know he'll be popular in that 9K range. He's got obviously a solid open history. He did miss cut last year. I'll play him in spots, you know, more of an MME play for me. I don't think he makes a core type play. Lowry certainly will go back there as a gut fill play. Kevin Yu is kind of popping out there, kind of getting the putter together recently. For him, like, it's not great, but for him, it's dramatically improved. 21st at John Deere, 25th at Travelers. This is his fifth open, and he's played better each time. Miscut, 64, 31st. So I'm hoping with him getting better and more acclimated with that kind of stuff, that helps. Straka certainly will go to him. He potentially could, you know, wind up into that, you know, top 20 or 20 max play and maybe a flirt with a core. I do like him a lot. He was right on the edge for me. I think he'll be up there with Fitzpatrick in ownership in that 7K range, but I like him a lot. Henley, not a guy I play a lot, but makes sense. Connors, certainly ball striking, has made his last four opens with three inside the top 28. Mav, you know, probably playing his best golf ever this year. Coming in with good form. He's only played the Open once. That's the last year he missed the cut, but not putting a ton in that. 6,100. He makes a lot of things work. Rory, if, you know, I'll go to Rory. He's just slightly below Scheffler for me. That's why he didn't make it up top. Pat Geeter, I'll go back to him. Davis Thompson, you know, he's Mr. Boom Bust, risk reward. But he's playing solid recently, 18th, 34th, 25th. Made the cut last year. Didn't do much with it, but I like he got the experience. And then Bobby Mack, definitely go back to him. He'll probably be popular, but I don't mind getting some of him, you know, at least in the MME stuff. The betting top five of the pop and two long shots for me, provided by Underdog, like I mentioned, links in the description. Dollar for dollar match on your deposit. Go hit up the college football, best ball drafts. NFLs are going as well. Bobby's got some rankings out on the site, if you remember. And the Slack's all about it all day long when things are moving and shaking and changing and updates happen. Top five, I got Cantley, 60-1, Fitz 40, Oberg 25, Xander 25, JT 50. Those are the guys I got my eye on right now. Again, I'm not locked into anything yet because I'll wait till see what the weather looks like closer to, you know, tomorrow early evening before I lock in stuff. Two long shots, Marco at 125 and Berger 125. Again, no bets made for me. Pay attention to the final thoughts articles and the betting card that comes out early evening tomorrow. I'll have all that in there. My preliminary one and done, this is for most people, it's probably the last big pot. I know some one and dones go by FedEx Cup points, so it's not as big of a swing as, you know, you got these 4 or 5 million to first versus 1.6. It's huge. If you do the FedEx Cup points in a one and done, it's, you know, whatever, 750 to 500 or 750 to 600 on a signature. It's not as big of a gap, but if you're doing the ones that go by dollars, this is the last big one. I like Xander, Oberg, Rahm, Fitz. And this is assuming that most people have used your Scheffler, Rory, those kind of guys. If you have Scheffler or Rory, I would definitely probably play them. I'm assuming virtually most everybody's used them by now. And then kind of that next tier for me would be Niemann. And that would be a super contrarian play. And then I like Cantley, Hovland. Those guys right now are, you know, kind of there. I really like the top four. That's probably who I'll be choosing between. We'll see what comes up. I'll put out the final one and done with the final thoughts tomorrow as well. But Xander, Oberg, Rahm, Fitz is kind of where I'm looking. I think I'll live in that area. Lowry wouldn't be a bad one either. A lot of people may use him last week, so he couldn't be as popular. And of course, if you haven't used Scotty or Rory, I definitely would take a long look at them. Another one I mentioned, or I marked, was Bobby Mack, to kind of see where he's at overall. If he's low in your ownership, like a lot of people may have used him already, maybe he can be that, you know, take a chance, not a chance, and he plays well, but not as popular of a pick. As I mentioned, I'll have all this stuff out tomorrow. It'll be a blurred line of trying to get it out as early as possible for everybody to consume, but as late as possible to take all the weather in consideration. If things look like they're staying pretty much not a lot of shifting and changing, then I try to get it out as super early evening as possible to still give, you know, call it, you know, 4 or 5 hours, you know, to get those final thoughts and everything in, and then build lineups before you go to bed, or maybe people are staying up and watching some of it. I typically build the lineups and go crash for several hours, because those first few hours aren't that much of anything going on. Those first groups going out, and I still have to work. So then I get up early and watch, you know, from 3 or 4 in the morning on until I start the work day, at least for Thursday and Friday. And then in Thursday, I think Little Man has a tournament early Thursday, so I have to duel that stuff. But the weekends where I really enjoy it, you know, no work, no nothing like that. You can get up early with him and have some coffee and watch golf, you know, at 3 or 4 in the morning is awesome. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Looking forward to it. Big football season ahead. British gets you 30% off if you'd like to join. If you have any questions on that, reach out to me and we'll talk to you soon.